Hey, my name's John, and I'm a sinner. God and I are working on this together with all of you. We're getting ready for the celebration of personal inadequacy, 7 a.m. Pacific time, March 19th. Today, in order to prepare for that, look back on the journey that we've been on that starts with the painful embrace of our own powerlessness and then the hope that there is a higher power and then our surrender. Today, I want to talk about a statement from Bill W., who said one time, pain is the touchstone of all growth. I want to talk to you today about how to enjoy being miserable. You might know in the book of James, it says, when all kinds of trials and temptations crowd into your lives, don't resent them as intruders, welcome them as friends. The old King James Bible has this wonderful phrase, count it all joy. So I want you to think, as you walk through today, as we get ready to meet together tomorrow on the field, not of our strengths and victories and impressiveness, which for some strange reason doesn't tend to empower other people, but as we meet together on the field of our need for God and our bruised and bleeding egos and our wounds and our failures, as we do that with openness and humility, we find strength from each other. I want to talk to you about how to enjoy being miserable, how to enjoy a miserable Lent. And this comes from a man that I got to tell you about, Father Edward Dowling. He was a key part of the 12 Steps and Alcoholics Anonymous. Bill W. met him, I think it was in 1940, on a rainy evening when Bill W. was deeply discouraged. He suffered from depression. I'll say a little bit more about that. He heard footsteps on the staircase and invited the person in, but instead he was thinking, oh man, one more drunk I got to try to take care of. Instead, it was this lame, arthritic, rather large Jesuit priest. And he wanted to see Bill W. because he'd read the 12 Steps, and he thought they must be from the spiritual exercises of St. Ignatius. Now, they were not. Bill W. had never heard of Ignatius. However, part of what this shows is the 12 Steps speak to the universal need and spiritual condition of every soul. So whether it was John Wesley or Augustine or Ignatius or Frank Buchman with the Oxford Group, you're going to find the same kind of practices addressing the same need so that we can access the same power. Father Dowling was not himself an alcoholic, but he needed the 12 Steps, and he recognized that. He became the sponsor, essentially, of Bill W. Bill W. did his most complete fifth step to Father W. Father Ed Dowling. And Ed Dowling was a remarkable man, but he brought great pain. He suffered from arthritis. He'd been a minor league baseball player, but quite soon into his adult life, he was basically crippled by that pain. He had to face disappointment in his career, in his ministry. The Jesuits were like high-functioning people, but they were divided, his biographer says, into the leapers and the creepers. The leapers were the really smart guy. They were the Navy SEALs, going to change the world, get them a PhD. The creepers, kind of intellectual lightweights. And Father Ed was put into that category. He also struggled a lot with what we would talk about now as an eating disorder. He actually said that Bill W. needed to start, in addition to Alcoholics Anonymous, the obese obvious, because he just couldn't control his eating. He one time ate a quarter pound of butter. A number of people saw him do this. In one sitting, a quarter pound of butter and a box of crackers. Literally, they had to deliver the last rites to him. He also, one time was at an event, and one of the sisters was standing next to him there watching a game or something. And he started, he put ham and butter mayo, whatever else, on bread and eat that sandwich. And he did this 5 or 6 times in a row without even thinking about it. She's quite concerned about this. She said, Father, shall I go get you some good food? Well, no, he said, I'm on a strict diet. So this is Father Ed. And he needed the 12 steps in his own life. And his relationship with Bill W. was profoundly important. His article, the last thing that he wrote and gave to be sent out to the AA community, was the 12 Steps, AA Steps, for the underprivileged non-alcoholic. You might remember I mentioned that my friend Bob, who's been an AA for decades, told me, won't be long when you're studying this, that you're going to be jealous that you're not an alcoholic. That's exactly what Father Ed was writing here. It's kind of underprivileged people that have been given the gift of desperation know how much they need God. But his point in this article is precisely what we've been doing. The 12 steps are needed by everybody. The church got the AA got them from the church. Now the church needs them back. So these are words to help you, whether or not you have an identified addiction, use your pain to draw close to God. Pain is the touchstone of all growth. Here's what Father Dowling wrote in a little article called How to Enjoy Being Miserable. There's two kinds of misery. Self-chosen, doing without candy or smoking. That's typically what somebody might do during Lent, the season we're in when I'm recording this. Probably not too important compared to the second kind, God-chosen or providential. Headaches, an in-law's temper, weather, health, death. These can either be big. Now, big pain is too rare and overwhelming to enjoy until we have gradually learned by practice on little sufferings how to do it. So what I want you to think about today is a little something, little suffering. Little suffering, very important, because petty inconveniences and annoyances are 1,000 times more frequent than big tragedies. Like the widow and her mite, usually we have only a mite of suffering, like a traffic delay or a busy signal. Or maybe you work for a not-for-profit and a chunk of money has just been, a grant has been canceled and it's not going through. Or you got a bad performance review. Or there's a project you were excited about that got interrupted and could not get done. Or there was a concert that you were looking forward to that got canceled. Or just little ones. Little sufferings are easier to practice on in order to develop a habitual outlook and attitude towards inevitable misery. Okay, so start with a little one. I'm going to do this today. There are three attitudes possible. We can, number one, be crushed by them and jump into the river or a movie or a drink or into a debauch of self-pity, profanity, or resentment. Self-pity is my preferred drug of choice. Or, number two, we can accept them resignedly. If we ignore them stoically, we are wasting a most valuable experience. It would be like ignoring your paycheck. If we try to be Spartanly gallant, white-knuckle it, soon our nerves will get frayed. We'll end up being crushed by our woes. We've all been around people doing that. They just leak. Or number three, enjoy them. To do this, you have to be either crazy or in love. You have to be either crazy or in love. In everyday life, we see instances of people wanting pain if it helps someone they love. In carrying a trunk upstairs with your mother, you definitely want to get the heavy end of the burden. On a winter night, a mother will shiver so as to give a warm blanket to her child. Hence the psychological trick of changing from resigned, willing acceptance of suffering to grateful wanting to take up and enjoy suffering consists in finding someone we love who will be helped by our sufferings. St. Paul supplies that person when he points out the chance we have to fill up those things that are wanting in the sufferings of Christ. This is the grateful, wanting of suffering, and great love does this. Sometimes it happens with very deep pain. A good friend of Nancy and ours went through the excruciating pain of losing a child, an adult child, to death, death by suicide. And Nancy was talking to her. She discovered the body in the basement and had to cut him down and bring him down to the ground. And Nancy was saying, I'm so, so sorry you had to go through that. And her immediate response was, no. I wanted to do that. I brought that little body into this world. I wanted to be the one to care for it. I wanted to be the last one to care for it in his final moments. In our will, Father Dowling says, not in our feelings do we do this. Christ in Gethsemane or a patient on a dentist chair are examples of a person's will wanting to do things which his feelings do not want. But in the will, which is the essential determinant of virtue and vice, of misery and joy. Not that I want the suffering to continue. As far as I know, I might be dead in the next instant. It might be God's will that the suffering cease. But in this specific instant now, since I cannot avoid this suffering, I want to get the best possible use out of it. And the best use is love. And of course, in this, as in everything else, Jesus goes before us, even in these 12 steps. G.K. Chesterton, Father Dowling quotes, talks about Christ's love affair with the cross. What a remarkable phrase. What a strange object to have a love affair with. And yet Jesus talked about it all through his teaching ministry. Take up your cross and follow me. And then, of course, he embraced it and he made it the symbol of his life and of faith in him, because in it he was entering into the sufferings of the people that he loved. And that's what love does. And our God is a loving God, and therefore his love affair with the cross. So, the invitation today is we get ready to name our personal inadequacy, my disappointment, my failure, my broken heart, my broken family, this habit that I, by myself, am powerless to break, this addiction, this guilt that haunts me, whatever it is. When we meet together and we experience the presence and the power of God, for which I am so grateful because I find it with you. Now on this day, I just take the pain, just a little pain, whatever it is that I'm having right now. God, would you meet me in this pain? And could I somehow offer it to you? Could it somehow, as you use it, like the widows might, be a part of what is wanting in the sufferings of Christ? May I meet you in that great fellowship of the withered hand. And then keep coming back. It works when you work it.
Hey, you just finished a video from our series Steps, which is based on John's new book, recently released, also called Steps. So you could pick that book up anywhere that you like to purchase your books or find out more information about it at becomenew.com. If you're someone that would like to start practicing, working, doing the steps with a friend or a small group or your church, we've created a web portal for you that should get you all the resources you need to get started. You can just go to dothesteps.com. We are a community that's dedicated to growing spiritually in Christ one day at a time. And a big part of that is prayer. So there's a team of us that meet each weekday, Monday through Friday, to pray for Become New and for viewers just like yourself. So if you have a prayer request, you can send it to us at 855-888-0444 or email it to us at connect@becomenew.com. Thanks for joining us. We'll catch you next time.